Morning, church. Well, as Keith said, my name is Phi. It's my third year at the university. I'm technically a religion major. I came up here with my wife, Rachel, my son, Emmett, and my daughter, Missy. All right. I like to start my sermons out with a prayer, so if you guys can give me a minute to pray. Lord, I ask you to come down here and use me as your instrument. May my message be delivered the way you want it to be delivered. In your name I pray, amen. All right, I want to talk about faith today and what it means. What does it mean to have it? What does it mean to show it? What does the world mean when they say have faith? And what does it mean to have faith as a Christian? Now, Webster's Dictionary has faith written down as an allegiance to duty or a person. But since we're Christians, we want to see what the Bible has to say about faith. So if you can, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let me hear an amen when you get there. All right. I will be reading from the NLT, the New Living Translation version of the Bible. So if there's a little difference, that's the reason. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So that's what the Bible says faith is. It's not an allegiance. It's having hope that what God and Jesus has promised us will happen and will be delivered to us. Now, there's lots of examples of what faith is in the Bible. And I want to turn to the first one I want to go over today. Will be in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. So let's turn there as well. Let me hear an amen when you get there. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Now, I don't know about you, but at this point in the Bible, Abraham really hasn't had a relationship with God. It's pretty evident because you read the verses beforehand. There's no big mention about Abraham. This is the first time that he's mentioned. The first interaction with God, and the first thing God asked him to do is to leave. Leave everything he knows behind. Leave his family, leave his friends, and just to pick up and go. God has done is promised him that he will receive things. God hasn't done anything yet, hasn't given Abraham anything. It is solely a promise that he will receive something if he listens. And as we can see, if you follow down to Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, this is Abraham's response to God asking him to leave. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm 75, I'm pretty sure I want to stay where I'm at. I don't just want to pick up and leave everything I know to go to someplace I have no idea where. Now, to me, when I read this, all I can think about is the blind faith that Abraham has. God has not shown him anything yet. God not has given him anything yet. This is simply him responding to God's request. And he steps out in faith. He does it. He does it because he has faith that what is promised will happen. That God's his reassurance in God providing that it will occur. Now, that's an Old Testament version of it. We can find a similar event in the New Testament as well. If you want to flip with me, we'll go to Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. All right, let me hear your name when you get there. All right. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me. I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired man. Now, just like Abraham in the Old Testament, the disciples in the New Testament followed Jesus merely at his calling. Jesus has not done anything for them yet, has not given them any gifts. He merely tells them, "Follow me." And their response is remarkable compared to people's responses today. They left what they were doing on the spot. I'm pretty sure today, if one of your friends came over to you and go, "Hey, let's go to the game, let's go out to the movies," you'll stop what you're doing and you'll put it away. But you won't simply just leave it and then just go. And then what's even more remarkable to me is Zebedee's sons. The Jewish tradition, in Jewish tradition and culture, the children are very respectful of their parents. They do everything with their parents. They provide for their parents even into their old age. But as you can see here, when Jesus called the sons, they dropped. They dropped the nets right where they were and left. They left their dad standing there with the hired hands, which they picked up and went. I'm not sure if I could do that, and I don't know how I would react if my son did to me one day. But with these verses, you can see in the Bible that when God calls us to do something, he wants us to act. He wants us to have faith in him and trust him and to drop what we're doing and to have faith and just step out and does what he asks without any reassurance. Now, I want to bring up my own personal testimony and my family's testimony about this. 3 years ago, we decided to drop what we were doing and move up here to Walla Walla so I could pursue at the moment, theology degree at Walla Walla. We were talking about it, and we were planning it for the last 2 years before we decided to go. We said, well, let's build up a nest egg, let's pay off some debt, let's get our cars paid off, excuse after excuse. And then I just one day felt the urge that God's like, "You got to do this. You got to do it." So that same day I felt that urge, I got a phone call that in Orlando there was an Adventist school that was having an open house and all the colleges were showing up. So I figured, all right, I felt the urge. This event was being held, so I answered. I went over there and I pretty much applied to every single school that was there, from Southern to all the schools all the way up to here, including Andrews, including Loma Linda. I just responded to all of them. And I didn't hear anything. Not a word from any of those schools. And then just when I was about to give up, I got a call from the university, specifically Carl Kosart, which is now the dean of theology. He called me, he talked to me, we went through all the paperwork, and he says, all right, you got to submit your high school transcript, your trade school transcript, just to see if I could qualify to get in. So I went through that long hassle, did all the paperwork, was re-looking at my grades. I didn't do too well in high school. I was more of a goofball playing around. But I said, well, I applied. School had answered, so let me do another step. Let me step out again, one more foot in faith. So I sent in my transcripts. Next thing I know, I hear from the school. They go, yeah, you're accepted. Welcome. And the next thing I was like, okay, finances this time. So we did the same thing. We sat down, we ran the budget, and we couldn't figure out how to do it. So I applied for financial aid through FAFSA and through the school, and lo and behold, another door was opened. God provided, and all right, we left. We left up here, going here, knowing that I had no job. Me and my wife were going to be the only ones who knew each other. We had no friends, no family. We pretty much had no safety net. But when we moved up here, it took me 3 days to find a job. And I found a job because I knew someone at the university and they put in a good word with me. So, went up here in faith, no job. God provided one for three within 3 days of getting here. And ever since then, things have been tough. We went from a two-income family household down to a one, and we've managed. So I just want to say with my own personal testimony that if you have faith to step out, things will look tough. It'll look hard. It'll look like you can't do it. But God will provide every step of the way. You just have to have faith to do it. Amen. Now, I want to go to another aspect of faith, and this one will be found in 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 46. Now, this is the story of King David and Goliath. Now, pretty sure everybody here knows the story of King David and Goliath. But we got to really look at this story. King David, at this time, was merely a shepherd boy. The youngest boy in a family and also the smallest. He didn't measure up to his brothers. He didn't measure up to the king. He didn't measure up to anyone in the military at that point in the kingdom of Israel. But unlike everyone else at the camp, David had the courage to step up. As you can read in the verse, when Goliath was making fun of David, you can read in the verse where he said, David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with the sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." So, David, having faith that God will provide and protect him, stepped into a situation where no one else had the courage to do. He stepped up to someone who was, according to biblical archaeology, almost three times his size. No one else was willing to do it. And he did it all with a slingshot, a rock, and a piece of rope with a piece of leather attached to it. King Saul at the time offered him his armor, and David's response was, "No, God will provide. He will protect me." And he stepped out. He stepped out knowing that it could be dangerous, knowing that he could fail and it could end really bad. But he had faith that God would protect him, and he stepped out and did it. Now, another story I want to go over will be in Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 79. I hear an amen when you get there. No, verse 79, my bad. 7 to 9. Now, background for this. Daniel was working in the court of the Babylons. He was a captured Jew, had no freedom, but he was one of the wise men, and he was starting to gain rank within the courts. The king started to rely on him more and more, and this made other people envious. So they painted a target on his back. "We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high office advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders for the next 30 days. Any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den." Now, this is important because the Jews at the time were very faithful people. They prayed often, every single day to God, especially Daniel. He prayed often, 3 times, if not more. So they figured if they painted a target on his back with a rule like this, he would fall for it. Either that or he'll abandon his faith. But as we can see in verse 10, Daniel's response. "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God." So, in facing adversity and facing a target painted on his back, he had faith that God would protect him and provide for him. And he went ahead and he prayed and he did everything he normally always does. And we can read the consequences of this. As everybody knows, he gets caught and he gets thrown into the lion's den. But what can we learn about what happened to him in the lion's den? If you go with me to verse 21 to 22, after a night in the lion's den where no one expected him to survive, they came the next morning, especially the king of Babylon. Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight. And I have not wronged you, your majesty." You can hear the response from God for Daniel being faithful. He sent down the angels to shut the lion's mouth to protect him. I don't know if I'm the only one, but from listening to Prayer and Praise, that feels that this world is getting more and more dangerous every day. That you turn on the news and you hear nothing but bad things. But as I read my Bible, I'm going to learn what God has done for people throughout history, especially his people. It gives me comfort to know that God, Jesus has promised that he will provide for us, he will protect us. When all is said and done on his second coming, he will bring us new bodies and bring us to a new home that would be perfect for us, where all tears will be wiped away, there won't be any more fear, no more hunger, no more worries, no more war. There will be no troubles of the past world and the new one. So, I just want to go back to Hebrews 11, verse 1, to reemphasize that faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen, and it gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So I ask you today, church, that we continue to walk in faith with God and do things that he asked of us, even if it seems impossible.